Your holy name, exalted Father, let our worship, our adoration, our praise be acceptable in your sight. And do, God, in our lives this day, God who inhabits the praises of your people, do in us, with us, through us, for us, great and mighty things. Celebrate, O God, your goodness and bow ourselves before you in true humility. Be exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you, those of you who are here this evening, and those of you that are online. Welcome you all to the house of the Lord and to this time of prayer and intercession. A passage of scripture for prayer focus tonight will be found in the Psalms, Psalm 127. Psalm 127. It is quite possible that this is the first psalm that I knew, because it was the psalm for the high school that I attended. This was our school psalm. And at least once a week, we will quote this psalm, the first part of it. And the idea was for us to understand that while we were in school, that it was God that ultimately makes us who we are. That while we study and do all of that, we must place our trust in God. The psalm says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. When you consider that psalm, you must think about the statement of the Lord. When he said, I will liken a wise man to the man who came and heard my words and did it. He said the storm of life came and that house withstood it because it had a good foundation. Then he said, he will liken a foolish man to one who came, heard his words, but did not do it. That man built, the storm came, same storm, and his house was wiped off. When you think about this psalm, except the Lord build the house, we must consider that statement of the Lord. Now, if we consider it, the building of the house is connected to the doing of the word. Because the wise man came, he heard his words, and he did it. The foolish man came, heard his words, but they both came and heard. But the foolish man did not do. So the Lord building a house is connected to my doing his word. So if I don't want to build in vain, I must be a doer of the works, James says. Foolish man comes, he hears, doesn't do it. Therefore, he labored in vain because his house was wiped off. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's interesting. The watchman waketh, stays awake, watching. That's works. But he says he's doing it in vain. Why is he doing it in vain? He's propelled by fear. Now I go back to the first one. Except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. Colon. Meaning that this next statement is related to the first. If we are building properly by obeying the word of God, what is it that the word of God is trying to get at? The watchman waketh but in vain. But why is he waking up in vain? Staying up in vain. He's staying up out of fear. Okay. If we take fear back to the first statement, laboring in vain or not laboring in vain, and we have established that the building is based on doing the work of God or doing the will of God, doing the word of God, then what the common denominator might be then is that our doing the word of God must not be based on the fear of something. Fear of what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what kind of fear are we talking about? We're talking about a fear that is just afraid of punishment, not a fear of reverence. And many times we obey God's word out of fear of punishment, not the fear of reverence. And that becomes crucial to that verse. So our prayer focus must be, God, I don't want to build in vain, number one. I don't want to stay up in vain, number two. And number three, I want to have a proper posture of fear. Not fear because of punishment, but the fear of reverence and honor unto the Lord. Now when we bring all of that together, except the Lord build a house because you have reverential fear for him, you are going to labor in vain. So those four things, we want to pray as 4 points in that first verse in understanding it. I don't want to go deeper than I have gone now because there are other levels that I can go through in that particular passage. But let's understand that a common factor is the factor of fear and worry. I'm worrying, so I stay up. I'm afraid, so I stay up. And God is saying, you don't need that kind of fear. You don't need that kind of worrying in your life. Just trust me and obey my voice. My direction, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So stop making mountains out of this little speck. Trust me. And let me work in you and through you. And it doesn't matter what the storm looks like. You're going to be secure and established. That's the first part of our prayer point. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we are not going to build in vain. And we're not going to stay up worrying, perturbed, disturbed, confused because of fear, doubt, and everything else. But we will trust you that you are the builder of your church. We will trust you that you are the builder of our homes. And Lord, oh God, guide us that we may walk, oh God, in divine obedience. Walking, oh God, in obedience to your instruction. Your word says, oh God, that Lord Jesus, you learned obedience by the things you suffered. Lord, oh God, may we learn through every experience that we go through obedience, just like you did. And in obeying your instruction, may our houses be built and established because your goodness and your mercy abounds towards us. We rest, O God, in the security of knowing that you are the one who is building for us. You are the one living your life in us and through us. For we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not us. It is you that lives in us. And the life that we now live in this flesh, we live by your faith, your unfailing faith, your faith that moves mountains, your faith that brings about multiplication and increase, your faith that restores our souls. We live by your faith. We live by your ability. We live by your workings in us. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being. Thank you, Father, for the grace of your presence in us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 2 goes in a little bit deeper. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Now, the word of God says, early in the morning, will I seek your face, David says. People say, the early bird eats the worm. There's something about being early. But God is saying that it is vain for you to rise up early. Oh, I better get up early so I can do more. To sit up late so I can do more. To eat the bread of sorrows, sweat, working hard. And the idea here is this, God is saying, it's not saying be lazy. He's saying, listen, it's not your working hard. It is my blessing. You knowing my blessing, knowing that I give my beloved sleep, rest. Stop running yourself up and down, burning both sides of the candle. Burning both sides of the candle is not going to give you more light. It's just going to burn you up quicker. And there's so many who are up 3 a.m., 4 a.m., they're up. And they work till very late, thinking that's how they're going to be blessed. Your blessing is not in that. You know, depending on the distance that you're traveling, let's say you're trying to get from Garden City to St. Vital, and you're speeding, you're doing 110. You catch so many lights. Well, let's even assume that you run all the red lights just to get from the Garden City Mall, let's put it that way, to the St. Vital Mall. And somebody else was keeping the right speed, stopping at the right places. Do you know, you might arrive there, but it might not give you more than 10 minutes. You might be trying to find parking when the other person arrives. So why did you break all the laws? Speeding, going through the red lights, and then ending up with traffic tickets in the bail. I'm going for they have a 90% off sale. By the time you get there, you pay more than the 90% off. And the idea is the same thing. Relax. That's the point. Just relax. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. And the prayer focus here is, Lord, help me to have my priorities right. Help me to have my priorities in proper order. Help me not to place my faith in my works, but my faith in you, a God who meets all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Those are going to be our 2 points in that focus. Help me, Lord, to have my priorities right. Is the first focus. Help me to have my priorities right, having it in proper order. And secondly, help me place my faith in you, God, and not in my works, my hard work. The word of the Lord says his yoke is easy and his burden light. The word of God says that it is the ways of the wicked that is hard. God wants me to walk the work of faith. Father, help us today to have our priorities in proper order, in recognizing that it is you that blesses us and makes our lives meaningful, that you are the God who rewards, you are the God who establishes us, and we need not fret, we need not worry. And at the same time, we need not be slothful and lazy. So, Father, help us, O God, to live balanced lives in everything that we do and say. To live balanced lives. So, Lord, O God, that we are not living the life of worry, double-mindedness, confusion, or rather resting in your goodness and in your favor, knowing, O God, that you are God, sovereign and supreme, and that the manifestation of your kingdom in our lives becomes the manifestation of the blessings. For there is no lack in the heavens. And we, O God, draw on the blessings of the abundance of your presence. Recognizing, O God, that daily you load us with benefits. Knowing, O God, that wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. We lay hold, O God, on the gift of righteousness and declare, O God, that this righteousness, your presence, even as it was in the house of Obed-Edom, will cause your abundance to flow freely and richly with us, in us, by us and through us, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. The third verse, talking first about the building of a house and the watching of the city, and the priority of living. It goes on to the next generation. And it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are an heritage of the Lord. This is a very interesting word here, makala, for heritage. And makala, as a word, has many aspects to it. Nakala. Children are a portion, an apportionment, a share that comes from the Lord. Nakala is also a word that can be translated as property, but I don't want you to look at children as property. But property means, has to do with ownership. So the Word of God is looking at this and says, no children, and it's a property of the Lord. In other words, it belongs to the Lord. It's a share, it's an apportionment from the Lord. Nakala can be translated as possession. So children are a possession of the Lord. In other words, children is something that God gives to you take care of for him. That's interesting. And then it says, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Huh. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb. Reward for what? What's God rewarding me for? The fruit of the womb is his reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Reward from God. The fruit of the womb. Fruit of the womb. His children. What is the Lord saying? How might I look at this passage and pull out of it what God is trying to communicate? Children, a possession, an apportionment, a property of the Lord. Oh. What it is. The fruit of the womb is his reward. If it is his possession, if it is his property, if it belongs to him, and he gives me the privilege to take care of it, his reward is that he's trusting me. Oh. To take care of what belongs to him. He's trusting me. To cause that child to live his life in a way that's going to glorify God and he will fulfill his destiny. So when God grants me the privilege to have a child, He is entrusting me, because He's saying, I trust you. So now, I must act trustworthy. So our prayer focus then is, thank you, Lord, for trusting me. Help me to be trustworthy. To take care of what belongs to you. As a pastor, thank you for trusting me with these people. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me with these people. Whether they be thousands or a handful, thank you for the privilege of trusting me. May I do that going back to the beginning. Placing my priorities properly. Not living out of fear of punishment, but a reverence and an honor for you. Making certain that that which you have given to me to take care of, I take care of it properly, the way that you have taken care of it. He said, if you don't take care of that which belongs to somebody else, who gives you what belongs to you? And he said, this is important. If you don't take care of the unrighteous mammon, who will trust you with greater riches? So God wants to trust me and trust to me something, because He trusts me to do the right thing with it. So our prayer focus then is, God, thank you for entrusting me. And Lord, help me to be trustworthy, so that I can benefit from all that you have for my life. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege granted me this day and every day to be trusted and to be entrusted with that which belongs to you. To make certain, O God, that that which I do at all times honors you. Without you, we can do nothing. But in your loving kindness, Father, faithfulness can be demonstrated. So we receive the grace to be trusted with that which is important to you. Thank you, Father, for the grace to be trusted with your multiplied increase, trusted with resources, trusted with people, trusted as an under-shepherd under you. Trusted, O God, to be an under-father under you. Receive clarity, directives from you to fulfill your divine purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. Help us, O God, to father as you will father, to nurture as you would nurture, to protect as you would protect, to build as you will build, to do as you will do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. The fourth and the fifth verse together. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. A powerful segment. Fourth verse is again, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Arrows by themselves can't do anything. Arrows might be weapons, but without a marksman, arrows are not very efficient. Bullets are not efficient. If you have 20 bullets on the table, it's 20 bullets. 20 arrows on the table, it's 20 arrows. It has the potential of being a weapon, but that's all it has. Potential. In physics, they talk about potential energy, they talk about kinetic energy. The difference is, kinetic has movement. Potential is just static. Arrows are just static. But it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. In other words, a mighty man takes a hold of those arrows, and all of a sudden, it's no longer dormant. It's a weapon. It is deadly. Why? It is focused. But the arrow in a bow still can't do much. Not until the arrow is pulled back. So the masked man takes the bow, sticks it in, the arrow sticks in the bow, pulls it, pulses this far, releases it, it goes and plump. Pulses further back, and it goes further. Pulls it all the way back, and it goes even further. A mighty man knows when to release the arrow based on what he wants to hit. Let's go back to the beginning. Except the Lord builds the house, did labor in vain that build it. Don't expect to be released by the mighty man when the target he wants to hit is way out there. Don't expect him to release the arrow until he knows he's going to hit the bull's eye. God will not, as a mighty man, release you until he knows he's going to hit what he's going to hit. If he wants you to plump just down here, he just pulls you a little bit. Once you go further, he pulls you further back a little bit. If God wants to hit something way out there and hit that mark, expect him to pull all the way. And that bow bending, and he releases it. And I tell you what about God, when he releases it, he walks away. He doesn't have to look at the mark. He knows he's hit it. The children of the youth. In essence, God wants to produce early in my life what he wants so that I can enjoy what needs to be enjoyed. I might not be able to determine everything that God wants to do and how he wants to do it, but this is true. God doesn't want you to have the children when all your teeth is all falling out and you're all blind and walking with or rolling around with a wheelchair. That's when you start having your children. That's not the point. It is possible for him to produce through an Abraham at 100 if he will give him strength. And he did, because Abraham had more children with Keturah even after Sarah was gone. He had strength. His strength did not abate. And the point is, God wants us to be renewed in our strength. My youth is renewed. God, make me a mighty man. Make me youthful. Make me focus. Help me to know when to release that son, that daughter. Even as it is with you, God, so let it be with me. Amen? Not fretting, not worrying about my children. What are they going to become? But just trusting God that he will guide them as a glorious father. Let that be our prayer focus at this time. God, pull me back as far as you need to, but release me at the right time so I can hit target. A good mask man doesn't only consider that arrow, he considers extraneous factors, the wind. He compensates for everything that he needs to compensate for. The altitude. So we're going to pray, God, help me to consider all I need to consider so I can effectively project and propel and help my children, natural and spiritual, to accomplish their divine purpose and assignment. And God, I trust you with my life as an arrow in your quiver to be shot efficiently and properly to accomplish your divine will and purpose. Pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It is well with our souls. Lord, we pray for our children, that each one, O God, will be used by you to accomplish your divine will and purpose. Make us, Lord, mighty men and women that are youthful and focused, following your directives, aligning ourselves to your perfect timing. Appreciating all that is around us. So, Lord, O God, that your perfected will be accomplished. We trust you, Father, this day to release us at the right time so that we hit the targets, hit and cut down every enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, O God, to address all circumstances by the wisdom of your Spirit, that we may accomplish every assignment, every project, hit every target. Lord, impact our lives. Use us, O God, as mighty men to help direct sons and daughters by the wisdom of your Spirit to accomplish your divine will and purpose. May we not keep our children longer than we should, and may we not release them sooner than we should. But let everything, O God, be calibrated by the timings of your Spirit. All things synchronized. The Lord, O God, the perfection of your will be made manifest. We trust you, Lord. With our children, we trust you, Lord. With your parish, your flock, your chosen ones, that each person, O God, be assigned to do that which you've called them to do. Father, you said that we're coming into a season of restructure. Let this restructuring align perfectly And may everyone be placed in their rightful place, doing the rightful thing, fulfilling your divine mandate. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And finally, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. His quiver full of them. Quiver most times is in the back. Says they shall not be ashamed. The focus here is, remember, God is one who builds. And if we build, we build in vain if we try to do it ourselves. And coming back to this end part here, he's saying that part of how he builds is that he gives us enough arrows so that we are happy. Whatever it is that we need to accomplish. I don't know if you've ever watched movies where you have maybe a cops or whatever, and they are, you know, the good guys are fighting the bad guys, and one says, "I'm out of bullets." Or, "I only have one left in my chamber." And you see the other guys have all kinds of bullets flying all over the place. And you know they are done. It's going to take a miracle for them to get out of this. Well, this passage is saying, listen, you're not going to run out of what you need. I'm the one who is building. I see what is out there. You're going to have exactly what you need, and you will not be ashamed. Your floors are going to be filled with wheat, vats with wine and oil, and my people shall never be ashamed. And God is saying, you're going to have all you need to accomplish what you need to accomplish. What does that say to me? At any time, no matter what the circumstance is, we will always have what we need to get the job done. And folks, I can tell you that that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. People can come, people can leave. But whatever it is that you need to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, you have right now. I have the exact amount of people I need to pray the prayers we're praying right now. So I don't need to worry about who is not here, or there are too many people here. I have exactly what I need to accomplish what I need to accomplish. That's how we've done. If you've been here long enough, you know the truth of that statement. Everything we've ever done and accomplished, we've accomplished with what we've got. Get an instruction, do this. You go do it. You don't look at how many people you have or don't have. In fact, God sometimes reduces the numbers of people as he did with Gideon. Too many. And the quiver, you won't be able to get your arrows out quick enough. Let's reduce it. We need some freedom. We need some space here, man. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I'll give you voice for your enemies. You have the right amount. Don't build based on what you think. Don't stay up worrying and fretting because of what you think. But rest in the fact that you've got a mighty God. And He has arrows. And hit the mark. And you'll not be ashamed. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. So our prayer focus is clearly stated. Father, fill our quiver with what we need to accomplish your purpose. Thank you that we will never be ashamed. Thank you for the voice you've given to us to speak at the seat of government and see the government of hell bow to the authority of your name that's operating in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray that prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for quivers full. Thank you, Father, that we have the numbers that we need to accomplish your divine purpose. Thank you, Father, that we have a covering. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, that you have a set place, a protective place for us, that we are the arrows in your quiver. Your quiver protects your arrows. Lord, we give you praise that you are the master marksman and you hit every target you point us at. As your arrows, we do not divert. We go by the authority and the force of release. And we cut down every enemy. Therefore, we are not ashamed. We move swiftly. Once static, stagnant, pulled back and further back, but Lord, O God, only to be released with such force that every enemy is cut down swiftly at the right time, the right place, for the right reasons. Lord, we pray for our children. And Lord, O God, that they, directed by you, the great marksman, Lord, O God, that every child will accomplish their divine purpose, their divine assignment, and that the captives of the enemy be released from every snare. In the mighty name of Jesus, The lawful captives are released. And all of our children, Lord, oh God, will be as children of the youth, fulfilling their divine mandates. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call wholeness to every home, wholeness to the communities you've called us to, wholeness to our country, wholeness to our city, our communities, wholeness to our schools, wholeness in the marketplace, wholeness to our society. God, watch over our land. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the privilege once again to pray and to seek His face. We look forward to our time together this Sunday. I trust that the presence of God will be so real that God will do in us and with us that which only He can do. And that those things that are lacking, those areas where we are not properly positioned, that in His grace and in His mercy, He will take us and position us. He will enhance our prayer life. He will enhance our word life, our study life. He will enhance our relationships. He will enhance our hunger to worship and to adore Him. Enhance everything that produces godliness so that we can live the life of Christ, worshiping in spirit and in truth. This we request. This we experience together. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Well, let us honor God with our giving. And as we honor Him, may God multiply our seed sown. It's a joy to have you tonight in this gathering, praying and trusting God with our lives, with our church, with our families, with all that we do. Praise God. God bless you. Good night. And now I have Sister Judith. Sister Judith.